ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनोऽपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रत्यथ कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं पर्जनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। The word tirtha in various forms appears many times in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, tirtha buddhi salilena karahijit. In the Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 3, tirthanam, the plural is given, to establish that the tirthas are the receptacle, the holy places are the receptacles of all the Vedas. The Vedas reside there. And generally at tirthas, at least in the past, the Vedas were to be recited. The Vedas should be recited in a pure place, but especially in the holy places. That's specifically said in the Bhagavatam, that if the Bhagavatam is recited at Pushkar, it's one of the places which is mentioned, then it becomes very meritorious. Then the names Tirtha Pad and Tirtha Pad, which mean the same thing, the lotus feet of the Lord, are recurring names in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The various translations Priest Srila Prabhupada has given of that. In one place he writes that the places of pilgrimage, the Tirthas, are the Lord's lotus feet. They are the Lord's lotus feet. Now that's interesting because we find in the Pada Sevana, mentioned among the nine processes of devotional service, one of them is Pada Sevana. So how do we do that? Well, if you're pujari, you can massage the lotus feet of the Lord. But another definition is given, that going on pilgrimage is also included in Pada Sevana. I guess that's using your own feet to serve the Lord. So that's one understanding. And elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada, translating the same name, Tirthapada, whose lotus feet are all the places of pilgrimage. Tirthakirti in the Bhagavatam, the Lord whose glories are chanted in the places of pilgrimage. Or that could be translated also to say that the tirthas praise him. Every holy place has the personality. So the tirthas glorify him. And the proper thing to do in a holy place is to glorify him. It's the proper thing to do everywhere, anywhere, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. But most people, their lives are divided. We're talking pious people here. Talking about pious people. Most people have some secular interest also, but they know the religious is the most important, which is why they give respect to saintly people. We find that in Indian culture, traditionally, the great figures who have been noted in history are not so much the kings, the statesmen, the politicians, as the great sadhus, and they have influenced the life of India more than kings. The influence of Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, it's lasting. Whereas the influence of a king may go on for some time after his passing away, but not in the way of that of a sadhu. Holy places, where do we go? There are so many. If we get inspired by hearing about these places of pilgrimage, so that when this lockdown is over, let's go on pilgrimage. Well, where do we go? There are so many. Where do you start? How do you choose? Well, for the Gaurya Vaishnavas, Gauramara Deshabashtane Karala Brahmana Ronge Sheshabashtana Haribohami Pranai Bhakata Shonge Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In this song, it's making a sankalpa, or making a decision, that I will go with all the loving devotees of Lord Chaitanya to the holy places that Lord Chaitanya sanctified by traveling to them. So they're the best places for pilgrimage. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Maharaj Prataparudra, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was journeying toward Vrindavan, then Maharaj Prataparudra, because the beginning part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's journey was through the kingdom of Prataparudra Maharaj, up as far as the Rup Narayan River, which more or less marks the border between Bengal and Orissa. Not at the present time exactly, but that's traditionally considered the border. It's a big river. I don't know why it's not so famous. It's a big, wide river. So wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, and when he halted at night, Prataparudra Maharaj had a pillar erected as a memorial. And still in Orissa, there are villages in which the local people proudly and happily say that this place was sanctified by the dust of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Gaura Barjita Sthana Tirtha Nahimani, a place that was not visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I won't consider that a tirtha. I quoted this in Pushkar, when we were in Pushkar, because there's no record of, although it's mentioned in Bhagavatam as a highly holy place, very suitable place for reciting Bhagavatam, but it's not a place visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Nityananda went there, so he's non-different. So why go to any place which is not touched by the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Priti vite ache jato nagar adi gram, sarvatra pracha hoibe baranam. We have to spread the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go everywhere. And actually, when we went to Pushkar, although In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't go at that time, but he went later. He went in the ISKCON Padyatra. So they're taking him all over India. And Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur, he went there. It's the place of our Sampradaya head, Lord Brahma. So devotees, they are enjoined by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go everywhere all over the world and make the whole world into a holy place by preaching the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanting his holy names, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Just yesterday I was reading that Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees, they should establish a center of the ISKCON in every town and village of the world. So there you go. A lot of work ahead. So what is this, going on pilgrimage? People go on pilgrimage for various benefits. Generally they think, I'm going to get some benefit. It's for material reasons. But at the same time, it's not like going to, for instance, a personality development course where you also go for some benefit. Right? You think, I'll get some benefit if I go to a personality development course. Then I'll learn how to be bold and confident. I don't know what they teach in the personality development course. Such a big thing they might make out of it. Exactly what they teach, I don't know. But it's a religious experience everyone has. People go in groups. Mostly they go in groups. There may be individual sadhus who wander here and there, but mostly people go in a group with others. Maybe a small group or a big group, or not usually not alone. But everyone has their own individual experience. People expect to have a religious experience, and it's going for some improvement, and people are expected in a holy place to behave in a holy way. And generally people who go to holy places, they're not grossly sinful people anyway. But when they go to a holy place especially, they're being on their best behavior. And they're expecting a reciprocation from the deity, from the holy place. They're expecting that there'll be some feeling is there. And we see when we go to a holy place, apart from our own experience, it's quite obvious from the faces and the deportment of the people who go there, they are experiencing something special. It's not something that you do every day. And especially in the previous times when people have to walk, it becomes a very, very special thing. So it's Tirtha Yatra is the traditional self-improvement or personality development program. It's not a personality development program to make you a more efficient rat in the rat race, but to take us above the animalistic level. At the same time, it recognizes that we all have a little Hiranyakashipu inside us that needs to be purified. We go there for purification, the purification, ritual purification by bathing, by fasting. When it goes to a holy place, one's supposed to fast for a day and then bathe, and shave the head, all these things. Shave the head before bathing. People don't do so many things like that these days, but purification by accepting some austerity, purification of the body by bathing, and purification of the heart. So people who go there, they recognize that, I'm in need of improvement. And they may not articulate the thought in their head. This is required within Vedic culture to undertake any path of yoga. One has to undergo yama, niyama, the preparatory rules before one can even start on any spiritual path. This Indian quote-unquote spiritualism has filtered all over the world, or been taken all over the world, and many people are practicing yoga, and many people, they study, many people, but some people study Vedanta, and but there's some primary qualification. One is supposed to follow the rules of purification. The yama is for how we deal with others. Summarized in five principles: ahimsa, which is generally translated as non-violence, but it means attitude also. It's not just don't be violent to others, but one shouldn't even maintain an attitude of dislike or hatred toward others. Satya, truthfulness in one's dealings. Asteya, not stealing. Brahmacharya, celibacy. You may think, well, that's a personal thing. No, because you're involving, sex involves others also. It's not just personal. Aparigraha, non-possessiveness. These are basic, just like we have in the Bible, Ten Commandments. One should not covet one's neighbor's wife, or someone else. One should not steal. These are basic things, basic activities of human behavior. Before one can even think of going to a higher level, one should follow these things. And niyama, rules for personal discipline, shocha, cleanliness, santosha, contentment. This is, again and again, we find in Gita, this, what is that? Yadricha labha santushto. One should be satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. Tapasya, austerity, swadhyay, study. And Ishvara pranidhan, surrender to God. So that's required to even begin to have any personal improvement. And for entering the holy, at least when actually everyone in Vedic culture is supposed to cultivate these qualities, but especially in the holy place, one has to follow this. The Mayavadis, they have to follow this also. Everyone in Vedic culture, but the Mayavadi personality improvement program ends up in no personality whatsoever. they have an overall negative view of persons. They don't think personality is very good. So you look at Buddhism, what's there? It's empty. There's nothing in it. There's nothing in Buddhism. Yeah, that's right. You've understood Buddhism. There's nothing in it. It's empty. Emptiness. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. One thing about the holy place is it's definitely a very personal affair. People come, mostly in groups, the deity is there, the priests are there. It's all very personal. How they end up with any impersonal idea, it doesn't make any sense. Generally, in this discussion of Vishnu Sahasranam, I've been quoting Parashara Bhatta. And the interpretations he gives to the names, I didn't do that yet, so I'll do that now. Parashrabhata gives three interpretations to the name Tirthaka. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is called Tirthaka because it is He who makes the Ganga a Tirtha, makes Ganga pure. It's because of the touch with Him. Otherwise, water is anywhere. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, these elements are available within the material world. What's the difference between Ganga water and any other water? Now, I'm not talking about the chemical composition or the geographical location specifically. But what is it about the Ganga that makes people so much devoted to her? So much that people chant prayers, they offer arati, they want to die on the bank of the Ganga, or at least have their ashes sprinkled in the Ganga. What is it about the Ganga that makes her so sacred? Is her link with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, because she flows from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And Parashrabhata says that Vishnu, is the source of purity in all the pure, holy rivers and lakes. And again he mentions Pushkar. Whatever holy waters are there are holy because of the touch of Vishnu. I don't exactly know why the Jordan is considered sacred. Prabhupada often mentioned the river Jordan. That Christians and Jews, I guess, they also go and bathe there. Exactly what's the explanation of why it's sacred, I don't know. What they say, if they say anything. I guess they must have some reason. But it's very clear in Vedic culture that the holy rivers are pure because of the touch of Vishnu. And Lord Shiva, he takes the... We may say, well, no, it's Shiva, but he takes the Ganga on his head. He's happy to do that. Otherwise, who can go on the head of Shiva? Who else? Who else is on the head of Shiva? Come on, it's very famous. Chandrasekhar, he has Chandra on his head. But that's as a decoration. But he takes with full force Ganga on his head and then lets her out in seven streams for the purification of the world. Why is that? Because it comes from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So everyone who bathes in Ganga or remembers Ganga, they become purified because of the connection with Lord Vishnu. Tirtha also means Vidya. So, this Parashrabhata still. He is the source of all the Vidyas. So, Jnana is a general term meaning knowledge, and there are specific Vidyas. Among all the Vidyas, what is the most important? Say it. Bhagavad Gita, huh? Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Brahma Vidya, knowledge of reality, of the spiritual knowledge. But there are many for the benefit of human society. There are many. There are the. He makes them or gives them. There are the four Vedas, the six Vedangas, which are all required for understanding, well, some are for understanding the Vedas at all and pronouncing the Vedas, and specifically for performance of yajna. So what are those? Did you learn that in your class? No? Shiksha? Let's see if I can get Shiksha Vyakaran. Chanda Nirukti. Kalpa and Jyoti. Jyotish. These are the six. And then even the various philosophical theses, the Shaddarsha, they all come from him. Vaidaisya Savaraham Eva Vedyaha. So even the theories which may not even accept Vishnu as supreme, or not directly point to that, they're all ultimately meant to lead to him. So those are Karnad's Vaisheshika, the Nyaya of Gautam, Yoga, Patanjali, Kapila's Sankhya, Kama Mimamsa of Jaimini, and Mimamsa of Vyasadeva, in which there are two divisions, the Kama Mimamsa and then Brahma Mimamsa. Then there are the Dharma Shastras, Puranas. I didn't mention the Upanishads, although practically although they're included in the Vedas, they're very different to the, at least in the structure and message, they're very different to the Veda Sanghitas. Then Vedangas, Ayaved, Dhanaved, Gandhavaved, Artha Shastra, Nyaya Shastra, all these things. Even these sciences that are contradictory to the Vedas, which are for the Asuras, they also ultimately spring from him. And they ultimately have their point in their service to him, back to front way of serving him, keeps all the demons away from him so they don't disturb him. So even the examples are given of by Shankaracharya. He elaborates on this meaning of Tirthaka in great detail. He says even the Buddhist and Jain philosophies which he opposed, they also ultimately come from him, because matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. He inspires knowledge within the heart. And even the gross atheists, the intelligence that they get, the perverse intelligence that they get to deny him also comes from him. Paradoxically. So all knowledge of science, music, art, whatever knowledge there is, it all comes from him ultimately. But ultimately knowledge means knowledge of reality. That actual knowledge. Whatever else goes as knowledge in this world, what is that? At the end of the 13th chapter, at the end of that list, Gyanam. At the end of that list, Amanitvam, Adambitvam. How does that go? Etaj Gyanam, Iti Proktam, Agyanam Yad Atonyata. These are the components of knowledge, Krishna says, and everything else is. Although it superficially may be considered knowledge, but it's not in the category of real knowledge. He who has Shastra in his hands, or who makes Shastra, and the examples are given. This is from the Madhva commentary. Narayana gives the Pancharatra agamas. Krishna gives the Mool Bhagavat, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. He gives the Bhagavatam in seed form, which is later expanded by Narayana as Vyasadeva. He puts together the Srimad Bhagavatam as we have it at the present form. In the Madhva Sampradaya, they inform us that as Hayagriva, he gives the Mool Ramayana. Who gives the Ramayana Originally, Valmiki, yes, on this earth, in this day of Brahma. But ultimately that comes from Hayagriva. Vedvyas gave the Brahma Sutras, Mahabharata, 18 Puranas, 18 Upa Puranas, and Kapila gave the Sankhya Shastra. So this is how in Madhva Sampradaya they give one understanding of this name. Then Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the same, prefers to give this understanding of the name Tirthaka. He speaks Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures to teach the living entities how to attain him. This is a very apt interpretation of the name Tirthaka, because it combines both the idea of Tirtha as knowledge and Tirtha as how to go to. Well, knowledge is the means to attain him. Tirtha means the crossing over. It means, Tirtha means a ford for fording a river, and it also gives the idea of purity. So the Shastra is pure and helps us to cross over toward him. Regarding Vidya, we find knowledge. We find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking Rai Ramananda, Prabhu kahe vidya madde kon vidya sha, Rai kahe Krishna bhakti vidya bina vidya nahiya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what is the essence of all knowledge? And Ramananda Rai replied that without knowledge of Krishna bhakti, there's no knowledge at all. It's all ignorance. Srila Prabhupada used to pronounce ignorance as ignorance. Is it deliberately ignoring Krishna? You can't translate that into Russian. You can try, but you won't be able to. Then, as far as knowledge is concerned, we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam many people asking about knowledge, how to get knowledge. The devotees do that, right? There are many demons in the Bhagavatam also featured. We don't find them asking how to get knowledge about Vishnu, do we? We do. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where do you get all this Vishnu? Where do you get all that from? Or what's the best knowledge? He asked, what's the best knowledge? So he's inquiring about knowledge. What do you think is the best knowledge? Of course, he's not really inquiring, as he's not jigyasu in the sense of inquiring about spiritual knowledge. But he asked Prahlad, what do you think is the best knowledge after studying from your teachers? And Prahlad famously replied, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedam Iti Pung Sarpita Vishnu. Oh, that word was like pain to Hiranyakashipu. Iti Pung Sarpita, he already said it once. Shravanam Kirtanam. When Hiranyakashipu heard Shravanam Kirtanam, he thought, oh, that's nice. He's learned how to hear and chant about me. Shravanam Kirtanam, and then he heard Vishnu. Oh no, he must have thought, Hiranyakashipu is maybe thinking, he heard Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about Hiranyakashipu, very good, you've learned very well. Vishnu Maranam, killing Vishnu, very good. No, he didn't say Maranam, he said Smaranam, remembering Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu is thinking Vishnu Smaranam. Yeah, we remember him and then we'll kill him. But then he got the idea. And Vishnu Smaranam, yeah, remembering him's not bad, but Vishnu Smaranam, yeah, you should always remember Vishnu because you got to kill him, right? So he's still thinking it's okay. Then Pada Sevanam, that's in relation to Vishnu. And he's getting something wrong here. And then just to make it clear, in case Hiranyakashipu wasn't doing a Dr. Radha Krishnan and converting everything Krishna says into the opposite, then iti pung sarpita Vishnu bhaktis chainavalaksha. These nine symptoms of bhakti to Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu wasn't happy. Then what's the next line? Kriyeta bhagavatyadha tanmanye dhitam uttamam. This I consider to be the best of all knowledge. He was right. Prahlad was right. Hiranyakashipu was wrong. So Prahlad, he understood correctly. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there for now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.